You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
February the 13th, 2020, the coronavirus infecting more than 60,000 across 26 countries. And yes, that includes some inside the U.S., traveling to the U.S. from other countries and realizing they've got the coronavirus. 1,300 deaths confirmed so far across the world. And now North Korea. North Korea says we don't have any, not one case. Now, that's very interesting. North Korea has a border stretching right along China. And they have numerous sections where people come and go smuggling goods. It's some of the illegal trade that the Kim regime survives on. Do you really think no one in North Korea has the coronavirus, or they just keeping it quiet? And if they've got it, how bad is it in North Korea? Japan is confirming 44 new cases on that Princess Cruise, the Diamond Princess, docked at Yokohama. They now have marked up to almost 220 on board the cruise have the virus. And then you get this story. Who does this stuff? Well, strangely enough, you asked that question. It happened to be someone coming from China, arriving at Dulles International Airport in Virginia. And they had a package in one of their luggage cases that raised some suspicion. It had pictures of a cat and dog. And the passenger said, well, it's just cat food. They open it up. It is dozens of dead birds. Yes, there's a concern about the avian virus as well spreading. The birds were incinerated. The investigation continues. Democrats are not going to rule out a possible another Trump impeachment because of the Roger Stone case, because federal prosecutors who had recommended a sentence of 87 to 108 months were told by the attorney general, roll it back. Don't ask for that much. 3 years would be adequate. You don't need 7 to 9 years on this kind of case. And you've got Democrats claiming Trump is trying to persuade and push his view on the judge. In the meantime, how did that last impeachment trial go as far as affecting, hurting Donald Trump? I would say it didn't hurt him one bit. The GOP during that impeachment trial hauled in $60 million. Thank you, Democrats. Just write your checks direct to Trump 2020. The Virginia House of Delegates passing legislation now trying to award its electoral votes to whoever wins the popular vote. It's a House bill passing so far in the Democrat majority House. Virginia would officially become part of the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. In other words, the votes, the electoral votes inside Virginia would not be split depending on the candidates. It would be winner take all, which would be Democrats in Virginia at this point. The House also, the U.S. House, voting to remove the 1982 deadline for ratifying the Equal Rights Amendment. Do you remember the ERA? Some of you have never heard of it, except you thought maybe it's had something to do with a real estate company. The ERA, a move that was mostly symbolic for many, and of course they had ratification efforts. The ratification deadline set by Congress when the amendment was coming to close to passage in the 70s. And now they're thinking about bringing it back. During the time frame it was available, it did not get passed and ratified. And now they want to try to do it again. Well, sure. Why not? As one of them said, there's no expiration date on equality. I would agree with that. But the ERA, yeah, it had an expiration date. You failed. We'll see if they can reintroduce it. And then you get the Hollywood elite, once again, targeting Donald Trump. They never have a problem of calling him out if they think he embellished something, but they never call each other out when they think they are embellishing. because they think it's just proper and good name-calling. Alec Baldwin from Saturday Night Live, once again comparing Donald Trump to Hitler. To Hitler. Over the top, yep. But they say, we said it, we believe it. Well, let me share this with you. A recent Gallup poll shows that 6 in 10 Americans say they feel better off after the first 3 years of Trump than they were. Better off. 6 in 10. Because of Donald Trump. Making America great again, baby.
Larry Connors, USA. News and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, especially for our children. A national chain of daycare centers that opened a facility in Washington, D.C. But soon, toxic vapors were discovered leaking from the ground. Wellington Environmental responded and put in a vapor seal so the children were no longer in any danger. Now, in another case, a child was playing with a toy in his basement. And like kids will sometimes do, he was putting the toy into his mouth. He got sick enough to be taken to the hospital. And what had happened? Wellington engineers and a chemist found traces of rat poison. So Wellington professionally cleaned up the danger. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We are putting together an unprecedented grassroots movement. It's made up of working people. It's made up of lower income people. It's made up of young people. It's made up of people who feel disenfranchised from a corrupt political system, which is dominated by big money interests. Anderson, in my view, the American people want a government, finally, that represents all of us, not just wealthy campaign contributors and the billionaire class. And that is why we're going to win in South Carolina, in Nevada, and we're going to beat Donald Trump.
Senator Sanders on Anderson Cooper, talking about how great his campaign is because it's a grassroots campaign. They pointed this out before, of course, of all their donations coming in. They say when we take all the money we get, when you divide it up among the number of folks contributing, it averages something like $18 a person making a contribution. Some are giving way, way more than $18, and some are giving maybe a third of that, if that. But his point being is that I've got full-fledged support. Now, Bernie Sanders is far, far to the left. He is the farthest left of all the Democrat candidates still in the game at this point. And before the New Hampshire primary, and even the Iowa chaos caucus, he got endorsements from additional leftists. Democrat Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, Rashida Tlaib of Michigan. Those three progressive freshmen giving Sanders a big boost for that New Hampshire victory. Because if he's talking about we are a grassroots, we're young people, and we involve minorities, so well, you don't find a lot of minorities in New Hampshire. You find young people, and you find those who maybe want to see something new and different. And, of course, neighboring Vermont in that area, they all kind of tend to think in a cluster sometimes. But Sanders ended up winning by a couple percentage points over Buttigieg in New Hampshire. He walks away from New Hampshire with 9 delegates, same number Buttigieg was able to get because he was that close. And Klobuchar got, I think, 6 out of New Hampshire. Warren, not so much. Biden, nope. What you have right now is the established Democrats are falling to the wayside. That would be Biden, and we've yet to hear anything, even a peep from Obama on any of these candidates, other than at one point, just the very fact that he is silent suggests that he is against Biden. Of course, Biden would always tell the story that he wanted to endorse me. He wanted to, but I told him, no, I'd like to do it by myself. You know, kind of like the kid. I don't need help. I'll go to the potty by myself. I don't need help anymore. Biden needs help. He needs a lot of help. He is going to be dead man walking very soon as they move now to Nevada, the 22nd of this month, and South Carolina, the 29th. That's where Biden hopes he will be able to get some more strength, and he's counting on the black vote. Bloomberg, according to new polling, Mayor Bloomberg is picking up support among African Americans. That means he could be taking away some of the votes that Biden was counting on. But for right now, it's Bernie's game. And he's getting all the attention. It might not be what the established Democrats want. It might not be what the established mainstream media really wants. Do they really want Sanders in there? But it's what apparently seems to be happening. And now Sanders is encountering backlash inside the party. Senator Klobuchar just the other day had said, I don't want a socialist at the top of our party. That's reference Bernie. I don't want him there. Elizabeth Sanders trying to tell everybody, hey, let's cool it. Let's don't go after each other. We need to be more civil. We can't fight just to see who's going to be the last man standing. We need to work together. But she's had her problems with Bernie. And she's losing to him. She might be simply trying to say, hey, put me on the second part of the ticket. Because that's the other question. If Bernie's elected, he had a heart attack recently. Would his health make it through the next 4 years? But then you also have some of the old Democrat that still exist. The ones that put Bill Clinton into office and were wanting to put Hillary Clinton into office. And James Carville headed up the campaign for Bill Clinton when he was an Arkansas governor running for the White House. And he strategized how to win. And Carville's recognizing what Sanders is doing. And Carville, I've had on a few other times, but I think it's worth reviewing again. He definitely believes that there's nothing that's going on in the Democrat Party, and in particular Bernie right now, that can beat Trump.
There's only one moral imperative in this country right now, and that is to beat Donald Trump. That's the only moral imperative. It's the only thing I want to hear. Until we understand that, we win every argument. Brian, we win an argument on anything. We don't win elections because we talk about stuff that is not relevant. We had a great experience in 2018, and the day after, we started all this goofy stuff. So hopefully we got time to jerk this thing back and be about health care and prescription drug prices and education and infrastructure and climate and diplomacy and rejuvenating, whatever it is. But this is not happening so far. And we can't act like this is going well. We can't come out and put 3 wonderful talking points. We need to, these campaigns have got to be more relevant. For God's sake, Senator Warren, get real out here. And you know, let's move this thing along. And we got to do that.
We got to do that. We got to be more relevant. My God, Senator Warren. And of course, he withholds a lot of his views in that bite reference, in that sound bite reference Bernie, because what he's suggesting Bernie is doing is is basically creating a cult. Bernie would have you believe, no, that's not at all. I mean, we've got people from all walks of life coming together. I wouldn't call it a cult, but James Carville, in talking to MSNBC, said, no, you don't understand what you're doing. You got some kind of cult thing going.
We got to win North Carolina. We got to win Georgia. Looking for somebody that can come in and not just excite them, but talk about things that really matter to them in everyday life. They're not interested in socialism and the revolution and all that foolishness. There's a certain part of the Democratic Party that wants us to be a cult. I'm not interested in being in a cult. I'm 75 years old. I'm just not a very culty person.
That's a fact. But I think he's nailed it. And the interesting thing is when we look back, when political analysts go back over this election after it's all said and done in 2020 and Trump is reelected, they're going to look at things like what Carville was saying, where was the relevance? You guys went so far left, you weren't giving the public what they really wanted. Now, if you look at a breakout that Fox News put together, reference the five candidates in that New Hampshire Democrat primary, they said if you look at progressive, just the progressive lane, and let's say who would really be the most progressive out of the five candidates, the top five, that'd be Sanders and Warren. Together, they got just over 35% of the vote. Buttigieg, they didn't put into the progressive lane, nor Klobuchar, and certainly not Biden. Biden's been trying. Biden doesn't know where to stand. I'm sure he'd say, if you'll show me where I can stand, that I can be president, I will stand there, and I won't move. I won't step out of the circle. But at the current time, he can't catch up to the party, and he's already sold himself out so many times and is still willing to do it again if he can just have that opportunity. He's not going to get it. But Buttigieg, Klobuchar, and Biden, so-called moderate vote in New Hampshire, got 53% of the vote total. And then you got Bloomberg. Michael Bloomberg was not on the ballot for the Iowa Chaos Caucus or the New Hampshire primary. He's pushing towards Super Tuesday on March 3rd. And then that time, he's got money already spent in a lot of these states well in advance of March 3rd, saying Bloomberg can do it. Trump is afraid of Bloomberg. Trump did state the other day that if it came between Bernie Sanders or Bloomberg, he said, I'd rather go against Bloomberg. He said Sanders has actual people behind him in support. Bloomberg's just trying to buy his way in. And Sanders does have a growing constituency. And they are fervent. They are very much like Trump supporters were. And so to that extent, when Bernie Sanders is asked, what do you think about Carville saying you're nothing but a cult? Well, he's got his view.
James, in all due respect, is a political hack who said very terrible things when he was working for Clinton against Barack Obama. I think he said some of the same things. We are taking on Trump, the Republican establishment, Carville, and the Democratic establishment. But at the end of the day, the grassroots movement that we are putting together of young people, of working people of color, want real change.
Okay. But do they want the change you're presenting? Well, if they're young, as he's describing them, and with the endorsements of folks like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the rest of the squad, if those young people are looking for direction, they see where the leaders that they tend to follow, Ocasio-Cortez, and anyone that talks about free school, free education, free everything, it's all going to be happy, happy times. They're going to go that direction. And they're counting on the youth vote. But I would tell you this. I happen to know and believe from young people I see around me, and maybe it's just the circles I travel in between my grandson and some others and their children, they're not wide-eyed optimists. They understand that everything comes with a price. It's not just free to be free. Something's got to be paid. Someone has to make the payment. But those following behind Sanders, and as they have been with Warren, they're just looking for whatever I can get free, then I will give you a vote. Andrew Yang is trying to tap into that. Andrew, of course, dropping out of the race the other day, the entrepreneur. But he knows a lot of these candidates would like to have the support he had. And he says the first one who steps up and promises a $1,000 monthly dividend, stipend, or whatever you want to call it, to each American, then I will support. So far, not one of them has, because I think they realize, well, that's even that won't go very far. So once again, you have the viewpoint of someone like James Carville trying to tell this entire Democrat team, you have fallen off the face of the earth. You just dropped off the face of the earth.
I'm just looking at the mega polling averages. I'm looking at public opinion right now. And frankly, we got to snap back and get this thing going. Or I don't even think about what would happen if we had four more years of Trump. But this is so far not so good. That's my analysis. Well, like talking about people voting from jail cells. All right. We're talking about not having a border. I mean, come on, people.
Come on, people. How many of you out there say, yeah, let's let folks inside the jail cells vote? Why not? Let's open the border so more people can come across illegally and let them vote. That's why there's question repeatedly about the California voting. Carville is not the only old established Democrat head saying the party's lost. I'll share another view when we continue. You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com. RedFitnessLounge.com.
Not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold. Have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder, 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 thunder.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So the things that we're seeing happen inside the Democrat Party actually mirror what we've had from one of our expert guests stating earlier this year and even last year, Dr. Gerard Lomero, who does his forecast models and so forth, and he had predicted, first of all, let me go back to the Republicans. He had predicted going into the last 2016 election, the Republican Party was changing. It was not going to be the same Republican Party. And he's right, it's not. And he had also predicted that Donald Trump would end up winning, which he did. And he did it months before anyone else had made that prediction. The Republican Party has changed dramatically because Trump has been an interrupter. Dr. Lomero had also pointed out the Democrat Party, by the time all this is done, is not going to be the same old Democrat Party. And many inside the party are acknowledging it, and some like the fact that it's changing, and some not so much, like you heard from Carville a moment ago, saying if you're not going to be relevant, how are you going to win anyway? And the whole idea should be to beat Trump, and what you're doing is not going to do it. Well, now, you would expect Republicans to say that the Democrat Party is falling apart. Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, said, we are watching the demise of the Democrat Party. He said, based on what we saw in New Hampshire, it is falling apart. He said, you're going to go to this convention with Biden basically collapsed. Somebody's got to fill that lane. It's not going to be Klobuchar. It's going to be Bloomberg. He said, if you cannot find a nomination on the first round of voting, the Democrat Party, as we know it, is completely going to implode. And he's saying all of this is going to end up helping President Trump get elected. You heard from Carville a few moments ago, former advisor, strategist for Bill Clinton. Well, a former Obama administration face, National Finance Committee member Don Peebles, also says what we saw happen in New Hampshire and Iowa, they just don't amount to anything. In other words, he flat out said in an interview on Fox Nation, they are absolutely not relevant.
Think New Hampshire or Iowa are even relevant. They're not reflective of who the Democratic Party's constituency is. The African Americans are the biggest base of the Democratic Party. My point is that African Americans have not weighed in yet. Latino American voters have not weighed in yet. Biden has nearly 100% name recognition. He doesn't need the same kind of money as any of these other candidates. Pete Buttigieg is not going to be the Democratic nominee. He's unelectable to be president of the United States. He's too inexperienced. Bernie Sanders is not electable in the general election to be president.
Not electable. And yet they're still running. Well, when it comes to Bloomberg, he also says, if you look at Bloomberg's numbers, they are moving up because of African-Americans and all the commercials he's running. But he said they don't know his record yet. They don't know him well. They will soon. He said he cannot be who he was as mayor and be electable to the White House. And, of course, that's the noise that's come out over the Stop and Frisk program that Bloomberg endorsed and said was good for the black community. And is now he's trying to back away and say it was a bad thing. He did good to help save some members of the black community, but now they're condemning it. So riots, is that what we should have in the streets? Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
The IRS is clearly our most powerful government agency. If the IRS decides you've done something wrong, you're suddenly facing serious issues. I know that can be traumatic, and I found out trying to deal with the IRS on my own was a big mistake. So I called the Lance Drury Law Firm. The American Society of Tax Problem Solvers rates Lance Drury at the top. That's because Lance Drury has decades of experience. He knows how to deal with the volumes of regulations and red tape. Lance Drury quickly laid out a plan for me that would satisfy the IRS and save me money. And don't go into the IRS lion's den without Lance Drury by your side. Say you heard about Lance Drury on Larry Connors USA and get a free consultation. Lance Drury Law Firm, 314-238-7360. 314-238-7360. Call the Lance Drury Law Firm and sleep better at night.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I'm still waiting. I'm waiting, and I will die of my not being able to hold my breath any longer. I'm waiting for the mainstream media to finally catch fire, do a legitimate story, at least a solid story, at least a story on what happened in Florida, Jacksonville, Florida, this last weekend. If they did it, it was so fast, it went faster than the blink of your eye. I'm talking about the guy that took his van and deliberately crashed into a GOP voter registration tent in Jacksonville, Florida, gunning his engine as he turned toward them. No one got seriously hurt, and certainly no one killed, but he crashed into it because they had Trump stickers, Trump banners, and it's a GOP event, just trying to register voters. And he later acknowledged to police, yeah, I did it because I hate Trump. And to my knowledge, they still have not filed hate crime charges, which they should have by now, but they haven't. Aggravated assault, criminal mischief, driving while license suspended. Give me a break. And the mainstream media... Nope. I don't think it happened, did it? I don't think so. I don't think we had it on air. I don't think so. Oh, wait. Did he run into a Bernie Sanders campaign tent and crash it? Now we got a story. Oh, no, it is a Trump campaign. Never mind. No story here. Nothing to see. Keep moving along. And they want to know why we get so outraged at the media. they just absolutely turn and look away. They will not hold other leftists accountable for such acts. The worst thing for the left, and I hate to say it this way, but it's a fact, but there is a shooting of any type. The worst thing is once they get there and they realize the shooter was a white Democrat, someone with leftist leanings or something like that, then they kind of lose their interest in the story. Give me a good old redneck with a MAGA cap on and I'll run that story till the end of the day. It's infuriating. So how do you get heard sometimes? That brings us to the president of the Black Lives Matter group of Greater New York, Hawk Newsom. He sat down with Fox Nation's No Interruption, Tomi Lahren, and began to justify there's a reason we have riots and why we should have riots, saying riot is the language of the unheard. I'd promoted this on Larry Connors USA Facebook as I try every day to put up in advance before we go to the air what we're going to have so folks can see it on Facebook and then add their comments. And sometimes they get to add them while we're on the air. Sometimes folks end up listening to the podcast and adding comments. Sometimes I go back and see some of those. Sometimes I don't. When we're on the air, I try to make sure I stay on top of as many as I can. And on this subject, Billy had texted in earlier, or sent email, I should say, Larry Connors, USA Facebook. Riots are not the way to be heard. I react, it looks like a bunch of kids don't get their way. I think you're correct. But unfortunately, when it's involving adults, there could be true danger. But here comes the Black Lives Matter leader of Greater New York. And he wants to justify why they should be allowed and should encourage more rioting and mayhem.
The riot is the language of the unheard, right? And for a country that drops bombs on people, for a country that incarcerates people, for a country that enslaves people, to criticize us, right? For vandalism, it's preposterous.
We're not talking about just vandalism. We're talking about rioting. And of course, he just listed everything about this nation, which is not true. Yes, we have dropped bombs on other countries, and so have other countries. And then saying we've enslaved the people. There was a time. We don't do that now, and it's a bad part of our history. We should look at it every day and remind ourselves, do not repeat that history. But we're so far from that. But he wants to use those incendiary words to spark a riot and believe that's all okay. It was, let me get this here in front of me. It was 1965 in the community of Watts on August 11th. A California Highway Patrol officer pulled over a drunk driver. A small crowd gathered watching a routine traffic stop. Then they started throwing rocks. More police had to be called. And then more police had to be called. And more folks showed up. They started throwing rocks and the violence continued. And then the fire started. Watts, already a predominantly low-income community, large African-American population. Many felt that all this got sparked and set because of high unemployment, poverty, and racial discrimination. And the residents said, well, they were normally on the end of police brutality. And that might well be true in some cases. And yes, it was high unemployment and poverty. But it ended up with widespread violence that didn't end for 6 days at a cost of $40 million and 34 lives. That was 1965. The Watts would stand as the worst such case in L.A. history until the 1992 riots, 27 years later. In the business of broadcasting and in news, when you go to cover a story, you're taught early, do not use the term that there's a riot. A riot is not a gathering of people and protesters and shoving and pushing, not even just kind of throwing things, but when it really accelerates, because if you don't watch how you report it and phrase your reporting, you end up encouraging it. Same thing that if you're covering an event at night and there are protesters that are angry and so forth, sometimes by turning on a light on a camera, you spark action because then they're going to play to the camera. That happened with Black Lives Matter here in the St. Louis area in Ferguson. Black Lives Matter started out, I believe, I'm going to give them credit for just saying that, pay attention to us, we are important, and I would agree. Of course, I think all lives matter. But then that Black Lives Matter thing got hijacked by those who wanted to take the attitude of Hawk Newsom in New York. Rioting is a language of the unheard. That's what we will do. And so they were causing troubles and actions in the dark of night. You should not have had marches out there because it's too easy to hijack your event. People firing, throwing rocks from the shadows of the dark. But again, Hawk Newsom, Black Lives Matter president of Greater New York, says, well, that's how we built our country, isn't it? I mean, that's how you white people did it. Listen.
It is a tool of white supremacy to say, if you want what you get, if you want freedom, then you get it by protesting peacefully. Why is it a tool of white supremacy? Because the white supremacists who built this country never earned anything peacefully. They did it through bullets and blood, and that's the American way.
He's talking, obviously, about the Boston Tea Party. When we had no real government, we were trying to establish a government, and we were basically trying to break away from another government controlling those of us here. We are a far cry from that time. When you get folks attacking police, attacking individuals, attacking innocent people, you lost control of it. When civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, April 4th, 1968, we had riots, true riots, not just disturbances, not protesting, riots in more than 100 major American cities. Chicago had one of the worst. 28 blocks, looting, arson. Mayor Richard Daley had to mobilize more than 10,000 police, imposing a curfew on anyone under the age of 21. Arson was so extensive, the fire department couldn't keep up with it. Many buildings burned to the ground. And in some cases, they couldn't even go in and try to put them out because the firemen were being attacked. So what do you end up having? You have hundreds of people homeless, losing what they had. And yet, ironically, on the south side of the city at the time, two warring street gangs came together. The Blackstone Rangers and Eastside Disciples joined forces and protected their neighborhood from vandalism. They were just hitting everywhere else. No, a riot is not the way to be heard. I think Hawk Newsom of the Black Lives Matter group should go back and study Martin Luther King and his approach. We'll take a break. When we come back, one of the programs your kid might be watching on TV or your grandkids is politicizing them, trying to turn them into capitalists. Oh, for shame.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry
Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So there is a TV program that was created in 2013 called Paw Patrol. Paw, P-A-W. An animated series about a group of do-good dogs and a 10-year-old boy named Ryder rescuing folks from tricky situations. I didn't really know anything about this. I was buying Valentine cards the other day and picking up a couple for one of my younger grandsons, and I saw this Paw Patrol thing. I thought, well, what is this? Well, I didn't know it had a whole campaign behind it, a TV show. Those who think that it's trying to create capitalists out of the children, rest assured I did not buy it for him, but not because of that. I decided to buy something else. But now we have a, dare I say, a liberal professor, or is that redundant, coming forward and saying that Paw Patrol is pushing pro-capitalism propaganda to kids. I can't even say that. Paw Patrol pushing pro-capitalism propaganda. Try to say that a few times. Paw Patrol pushing pro-capitalism propaganda to kids and pups. So this professor decided to write a piece on it and saying, this is just wrong. And says that children who watch this show might be less likely to critique the capitalist system that causes, here it comes, environmental harm and reproduces inequality. He says the show ignores structural barriers in our society by putting out an individualist type message. No job is too big, no pup is too small. And he said, oh, yeah, some people roll their eyes, but I think it's a serious message. You're trying to make these kids individuals. Yeah, we do. We don't want them just all fall in line behind the Bernie Patrol. I'd rather than be with Paw Patrol. But anyway, one of the hosts on Fox and Friends said she thinks it's a very American message, keeping the American dream alive, and that apparently is rubbing the Marxist socialist university professor the wrong way. No kidding. She says, so in other words, we don't want to teach our kids that they can do things for themselves and that you know the American dream is alive and that you can lift yourself out of poverty or help yourself. See, that's where too many are going wrong still to this day. That's why this leftist move is so strong inside the Democrat Party and folks like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie and so forth, that, you know, that we got to help people. They can't do it on their own. There are cases where they can't, and we do want to help. We don't want to be a hindrance. But they get more self-esteem and value if they do it on their own, not to the extent that they are suffering. I'm not saying that. And to that extent, Ocasio-Cortez should know better. But she's walked away from her own personal knowledge. She was working as a coffee barista or whatever you call it in one of those shops and so forth, trying to put herself through college at the time. Obviously keeping some long, hard hours. I would give her credit for that. She was actually working, not sitting around waiting for a check to come through the door from the government. But now the idea is, no, we're just going to let everybody get on the dole and take care of everything for them. Until we reach the point where we can't. Which always goes back to that statement. Socialism is great until you run out of other people's money. I don't know that my youngest grandson, 8 years old, is watching this program. And my 13-year-old, he's probably not watching it, but I do know a program he likes and has for the last 4 years, since he was about 8 or 9 years old, one of his favorite TV programs, and this is going to really upset this professor, Shark Tank. Shark Tank, getting in there, trying to present an idea, sell it, get people to buy into it, invest it, be able to defend what you're bringing to the table, maybe walking away with a great deal, maybe not, maybe part of a deal, maybe not. In fact, he sits there on the couch saying, don't take that deal, you need to hold out for a bigger percent. I don't know where he's gotten that knowledge, but I love it. He's already had the attitude that if you're going to do something, you want to do it right, and you're going to earn something, you're going to have to earn it yourself, maybe. And if you have an idea, take it where you can get it exposed and make the most of it. And don't sell yourself short. pretty simple lesson. Pretty simple. Too bad, way too bad, too many adults don't get it. That if I don't have somebody taking care of things, I can't do. There are folks that truly need help, and that's the real problem I see, because when we're starting all this handout to other folks who are capable, perfectly capable, then we are hurting the folks who do need the help the most. Pretty simple. And yet, it defies the understanding of the far, far left. They just don't get it. And they don't get it as they get on their private jets and fly around the world. They just don't get it. They sit down their big banquets. They don't get it. I think there's a big disconnect. All right, these programs will be posted shortly as a podcast at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Let your friends and neighbors, even your enemies, know we're on the air. Back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.